ீஸ்வினாவீத்தமஸ்து மாஷாவகை ஓம் சாந்தி. இது தி சம்மரி ஆஃப் சாப்டர் 9 டுடே. தி சாப்டர் 9 இஸ் என்டைட்டில்ட் ஆஸ் ராஜவித்யா ராஜகிருத்ய யோகா. Every chapter is called as yoga because it's a science that explains logically how to get back to the origin, to our origin, the self. It helps us unite with the self within. The guru here, Lord Krishna, is explaining to Arjuna the science of uniting back to the origin. While he explains the science, he also talks about how to live till you get back to the origin. So that's why this Gita Sarjan is called as knowledge of life and living. It will help you to attain that infinite bliss. Also, while you strive to attain the infinite bliss, your life on a day-to-day basis starts shining with a lot of happiness. So, why is this knowledge called as Raja Vidya, royal knowledge? You must understand this example which we have discussed very often about somebody getting lost in a dark room. When somebody is in a dark room, they can try to do any other solution to live peacefully in the dark room. Like when you are living in a dark room, you will be walking around and knocking yourself against the furniture, the corners and everything. So you will be rearranging the furniture, changing the upholstery, etc., etc. But still, your problem will not be absolutely solved. You will continue to suffer in the darkness. The solution for that is switch on the light. Similarly, we generally think that it is normal in life to go through suffering. This is what everybody says. No, whose life there is no suffering? Everybody is having suffering in their life. So these are such generalizations. Vedanta is not saying there will not be any suffering. Vedanta says you can be free from those sufferings, provided you gain the knowledge of the self. Life will have sufferings. Joy and sorrow will be part and parcel of life, but the joy and sorrow need not affect you. You need not go through those suffering, provided you switch on that light. So all other knowledge compared to the knowledge of self will not help you, because it will not switch on and give you brightness to solve the basic ignorance of your true self. You seem to know about everything and anything around you. And the strife in life is in all of us to know things about us and around us, not essentially who we are. So this knowledge of the self is considered as the royal knowledge, because it varies in kind, not only in degree. Like if somebody has fifth grade, somebody is in 10th grade, somebody is in 12th grade, somebody is in post-graduation, but all of them are in dream. Compared to another person who is woken up from the dream. A person who is in 5th grade compared to who is in 8th grade has less knowledge. A person who is in 8th grade compared to one who is in 12th grade has less knowledge. This knowledge varies in degree, not in kind. They continue to be part of the dream and going through the joy and sorrow, the rigmaroles of the dream world. Whereas a person who is woken up from the dream, he has knowledge of the waker. When he has the knowledge of the waker, nothing that is happening in the dream can affect the person. Are you with me? So this knowledge is varying in kind, not just in degree. Hence it's called as royal knowledge. So the most essential thing in life is to know who you essentially are. Till you are ignorant of your true self, you will continue to project yourself to be this limited individual, as a result of which you will be subjected to joy and sorrow, they will affect you. In spite of whatever material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level you may reach, till you haven't got the knowledge of the self, your sufferings will continue. Then why is this knowledge called the Raja Gukhya, royal secret? This being the subtlest of all knowledge, it is beyond your perception, beyond your emotion, beyond your thoughts. It cannot be perceived, it cannot be conceived, it cannot be felt. It is that which makes you perceive, it is that which makes you feel, it is that which makes you conceive. Not what you perceive, not what you feel, not what you conceive. This being the subtlest, therefore, even if you listen to any number of lectures or read any number of books, it will still continue to remain as a secret. You are informed, right? It's like you are told that potassium cyanide is poisonous, but you are keeping it next to the soft bottle in your kitchen. What does it mean? It means you do not know that potassium cyanide is poisonous. You have been told that potassium cyanide is poisonous. So therefore, even after listening to it any number of times, still I continue to believe I am this limited, restricted individual. So people say, I've been studying Gita for so many years, I've been studying Vedanta for so many years, nothing much has happened in my life. Right? So why is this? Because they have been limiting themselves to the physical, emotional, intellectual interaction with the Bhagavad Gita. They have not allowed the Gita to bring about a transformation in their personality, which is only through performance of sadhana. And what are they? Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, supported by Bhakti Yoga. If you do not bring in this sadhana in your life, it's impossible that the transformation will happen. It continues to remain as a secret. Any other secret, the moment it is revealed, it becomes known. This, even after it has been revealed by somebody comes and tells you, you are not Ami, you are not Puja, you are God infinite. You say, oh, sounds nice. You understand? Immediately, we get back and then we start thinking that ourselves to be Ami. I know, I'm Atma, I'm Brahman. But can you put some sense into my children? They're giving me a lot of trouble. Can you put some sense into my boss? He's giving me a lot of trouble. We still believe that the external factors can disturb us. Why? Because this knowledge is stopped at the perception, emotions and intellect level. Therefore it continues to be a secret, royal secret. Nobody knows. Even after hearing it. Because after hearing, it has to be made your own. And that's only through sadhana. And for that, you first require a lot of faith, a lot of shraddha. And when we say shraddha, it's much more than faith. What is that? How would you differentiate shraddha from faith, even though in English there is no equivalent word for shraddha?
That is a bhakti.
Shraddha is, in English there is no equivalent word. So we use the word faith. But shraddha is much more than faith. It is faith plus conviction plus consistency. All this put together is shraddha. In other words, you have faith in the words of the Guru, words of the Shastra. With that faith, you listen to the words when the teacher talks to you, and you make it your own conviction, and you put it into practice consistently till you realize the self. That is shraddha. It's not just skin deep, it's much deeper. Can you repeat that? What is faith and what is shraddha? Faith is just at the surface level. Here, it is not just surface level. Begins with faith. Till you make it known, you will not leave it. You will not give it up. That is Shraddha. You are so deeply aware that I don't know who I am. Knowing any other thing is secondary to me. I must know who I am. It's like somebody, you've grown up in a house 20 years with your brothers and sisters, and at the age of 21, suddenly your parents come and tell you, we love you so much, you are still our daughter, everything is same, nothing changes, but we have to tell you the truth that we found you when you were 3 months old in a waste bin somewhere. How will you feel? Like Karna, no? Exactly what happened in Karna's life. Everybody showers the same kind of love, nothing has changed, but still within you, that keeps on bothering you. Why did my parents throw me there? Why they did not take care of me? What was wrong with me? Who are my real parents? You understand? You want to know all those questions solved. It will not leave you alone. Like that, we are not bothered. But when you are Shraddha, you will be like that. I don't know who I am. I must know who I am. You will not be just going to listen with just some curious inquisitiveness. So he says, in the beginning he says, Arjuna, I will declare to you this knowledge together with wisdom. Why? Because you do not cavil. The most important thing is, firstly, we need to become a Shishya. When you become a Shishya, Bhagavad Gita says, the Guru will find you. And when we say you have to become a Shishya, it's because only then you will receive, only then it will germinate and grow in you. Otherwise, you are keeping yourself like a hot plate. Water sprinkle will quickly evaporate. So therefore he says, Arjuna, you are a great Shishya. You do not cavil, you have not come to find fault. You really want to know. Your surrender, you see from the first chapter slowly, the surrender is becoming much deeper and deeper. So he says, you do not cavil. Therefore I declare to you both the knowledge and the wisdom. Knowledge meaning knowledge about the world. And wisdom, through that I will try to make you see the unseen which pervades the whole thing, the self, the higher aspect and the lower aspect that he spoke about in the 7th chapter. In fact, 9th chapter is almost like 7th chapter. In between the 8th chapter, he went into those different lokas and all that he talked about. He said there are two paths. They go up to Brahma Loka, through Brahma Loka realize the self. Others go directly, and some people go only up to heaven and come back. All this he talked about in the 8th chapter. Now in 9th chapter, again he is trying to emphasize that you got to gain the knowledge as well as wisdom and try to realize the self here and now. Don't worry about going through different paths. So this is directly realizable. And those who have Shraddha attain this, those who do not have Shraddha do not attain this. And then he starts talking about the nature of Brahman, nature of God from 4 onwards. From verse number 4 onwards. 1, 2, 3 was just introduction. Then from 4 onwards he starts talking about the nature of Brahman. There he says, understand Arjuna, that this whole world is pervaded by me. All this world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. All beings dwell in me, I do not dwell in me. And then quickly in 5 he says, nor do beings dwell in me. Behold my yoga maya, divine yoga, bringing forth and supporting my being, bringing forth and supporting beings, myself does not dwell in them. To understand this, we gave the example of rope and the snake. Here the rope is speaking, with reference to that example, who is speaking? Rope is speaking about its original nature. Here Bhagavan Sri Krishna is identifying with Atma, Brahman and talking, explaining what is the nature of Brahman. So in the example, rope is speaking, and what the rope is saying is, remember, I am pervading the snake. You are seeing the snake. Where there is a rope. A rope is lying on the ground, and you are not seeing the rope as a rope, you are seeing a snake. So rope is speaking now and saying, the snake that you are seeing, it's cooperating with you, it's coming down to your level. From the rope's perspective, is that a snake? From your perspective, is that a snake? At the moment, yes. So the rope is talking to you, as it were, coming down to your perspective and saying, you are seeing the snake, na? You say, yes. Understand, I pervade the snake. If you are pervading the snake, why am I not seeing you in an unmanifest form? Then say, snakes dwell in me, I do not dwell in them. What does that mean? Can there be a snake without a rope? In this example, if there was no rope lying down, would you have seen the snake? So when you say, snake cannot exist without me, that's what it means, snake is existing in me. Rope is saying, snake exists in me. I do not exist in snake. Those who are seeing the snake do not see the rope. Are you with me? So rope is saying, snake exists in me. Those who see the snake do not see me. I do not exist in snake. Is that clear? World is in me. I am not in the world. It immediately says, nor do snake dwell in me. Then what has happened? Have you drunk or something? You must be getting to that confusion. Why is he immediately contradicting? Always the masters try to use the language of contradiction because you do not, they do not want you to understand God. Why? God is not something that you can understand. What makes you understand anything is God, not what you understand. So immediately he says, nor do beings dwell in me, which means nor do snake dwell in me. Why?
Because
strictly speaking, exactly, from the rope's point of view, is there a snake dwelling? There is no snake dwelling. So he says, behold my yoga maya. Yoga maya means the base, the substratum is divine. The substratum is divinity. But you are lost in the maya seeing the world. So therefore he calls this as maya. You are seeing a snake where there is a rope. Is it clear? Verse number 4 and 5. So he says, bringing forth and supporting beings, myself does not dwell in them. So in other words, what he is saying, the nature of Brahman is sarva gataha, all pervading. If it is all pervading, why we do not see? We do not see it because it is avyakta. Avyakta means what? Indriya agochara. Indriya agochara means what? Avyakta means unmanifest. Unmanifest means indriya agochara. Indriya means what? Senses. Indriya agochara means that it is not available for the indriya. What is manifest, the senses can see. What is unmanifest, the senses cannot see. Like butter pervading the milk, you do not see in the milk the butter. Butter is there pervading the milk, but yet you do not see the butter. You do not see butter in milk. Similarly, Brahman is all pervading. It is everywhere. Sarva gataha. Yet you do not see it. Why? Because it is avyakta. Being avyakta, it is the adhishtanam. It is the foundation. Rope is the foundation on which the snake is dancing or emerging or manifesting. Do you mean? So Brahman is adhishtanam. And being adhishtanam, it is a supporter, and using the support, snake has come about. None of our experiences can take place without the support of the self. Yet, self remains as what? Sakshi, witness. You see, like in Panchadashi, another scripture, Vidyaranya says, like in a drama, you know, if you go to a theater, the lights are on, on the stage, everybody is doing their part, they are acting. Before the act started, the light was there, just the light. Then they all come and do the act. The whole public watching the drama is lost in the story. The crying, the laughing, everything is going on. Then the drama is over, public leaves. Light continues. Light was there before the drama started, light is there after the drama ends, and during the drama also light is there. But when the drama is going on, how many of them were aware of the light? Yet without light, no drama can go on. But we are all lost in the drama. Excuse me. Like that, all of us are caught in our own drama. Excuse me. The Maya is taking place, the whole thing is functioning. We are all lost in the drama. Nobody is aware of that. Light, without light, no drama can take place there. Can it take place? Light is not responsible for what is happening on the stage. Yet no drama could take place without light. Light is remaining there as what? Sakshi, allowing the drama to take place. And anything happening in the drama can do anything to light. So he says, nor do these acts affect me, O Dhananjaya. Verse number 9. So, from verse number 4 till 10, he is saying this only. He is saying, Brahman, the nature of God, is Sarvagata, which means what? All pervading. And if it is all pervading, why do we not see? It is Avyakta, unmanifest. Unmanifest means Indriya Gochara, not available for the senses. We cannot see without the help of our senses. Right? And then, it is the Adhishtanam, the foundation, the support. And being a support, it is presiding over all the drama, all the natak that is going on in everybody's life. Like life being the witness, it remains a sakshi. And being a sakshi, all this going on due to prakriti doesn't affect. Nor do these acts bind me, O Dhananjaya. Light is not affected, no. We go to watch a movie. There's a projector in the theater. In front of the projector, the film rotates, and the projector is projecting the whatever has been imprinted in the film roll. If it's a comedy movie, comedy gets projected. If it's a tragedy, tragedy gets projected. Isn't it? If it's an action thriller gets projected. Does the light get affected in any way? Supposing it's a conflagration. Will the light, the projector gets affected by that? Yes, the conflagration could not be projected without the projector light. So, nor do these acts bind me, O Dhananjaya. So what is happening is, he is trying to tell us in this. Similarly, if you gain this wisdom, if you make this knowledge your own, even when there is a conflagration going on in your life, you will be like a projector, not identifying. See, the problem is we quickly identify. That's the problem. What is the delay curve? Then you see, you will laugh. You will be able to stand apart and watch the tamasha. See, when the film is being rotated at 24 frames per second speed, then you kind of see it as real. You know that? The thing revolves at 24 frames per second. Supposing you rotate it slowly, what happens? Very slowly. Would you get involved in the movie? First of all, would you say, what is going on here? Get up and leave. You understand? Similarly, enough, the thoughts are running so fast that we have been accumulating for so many years. And they are running so fast, and this whole thing is becoming so real for us. This is a tamasha. That is why they said, reduce the thought speed. And then slowly reduce the thoughts. And then the master say, look between two thoughts. you will see the projector light, the self. And once you start seeing that and identifying with it, then even if there is a conflagration in your life, you will not be affected. Otherwise, you slowly get attached. You must recollect what we studied in the second chapter, verse 62 and 63. He says, Jayato Vishayan Pumsaha Sangate Shupa Jayate. First time when you saw somebody, anything happened to them, immediately did not affect you. Slowly you send your thought on that person, towards that person. Then attachment over here. Jayato Vishayan Pumsaha Sangasteshu Vajayate. Jayat means your thoughts are constantly dwelling on somebody. Right? Then what is happened? Attachment over here. Abhi, if anything happens to that person, happens to you. Why? Because attachment flew. So the same thing, in the beginning when the thoughts are going, you are not aware, you got attached. And now, therefore now you are getting affected. So life is not full of sorrow. Life is full of sorrow to you because of? What?
Attachment.
Whose attachment? Your attachment to your experience. So he said, by he presiding, Prakriti produces the moving and the unmoving. Because of this, oh, Kauntheya, the world revolves. Because of this, samsara is going on. You keep on getting attached, you do something and that will produce an effect. And that will produce another cause, effect. In this chain, you start getting stuck. So he says, fools disregard me. Fools disregard me. And he says, fools. See, why Krishna is using such words? He's saying fools disregard because human being has a potential to detach. Somebody has a potential to score 100, but 99 he got up. He's a fool. Somebody who is only, you expect the fellow to score only 0. Even if he scores 25, you say well played, excellent. You said, one fellow who scored 99, you said fool. Another fellow who scored 25, you said excellent. When you say fool means you have the potential. But what is happening is you are throwing away that potential. That potential is there, being born as a human being. But it has been thrown away. And then, they fools disregard me, dwelling in human form, not knowing my supreme nature, the great law of being. So what do they do? Throwing away this potential, they get attached to the world. And then what do? With vain hopes, they run after the material world. Vain hopes means what? By attaching more and more, by swelling, I think I will become happy. This year I have attached that industry, next year I should attach 2-3 more industries, then I have to attach this, I have to attach that. The more and more I attach, I think I'll become happy. All I personally think is acquisition and enjoyment as an end all and be all of life. Please remember here also, don't understand Vedanta wrongly. Like Shakespeare says, don't call a dog mad and kill it. You will call a dog mad and then you will put it off to sleep. Like that, don't call Vedanta impractical. Vedanta is not against acquisition and enjoyment. All it says is, with vain hopes of thinking as if acquisition and enjoyment is the end all and be all of life, then you will be fooling yourself. Then what you are doing there is, you are connecting your present happiness to future acquisition. That is bad. Then can you ever be happy? Therefore Vedanta says, don't tie your happiness to acquisition. Acquisition has a certain meaning. You need to acquire a car to come to this class. You understand? So, the material things or anything that you acquire in life has a certain purpose. At the material level, at the mundane level. But It has nothing to do with the higher. For that, only identifying the self helps. So he says, they run after with vain hopes, foolish hopes. And they do all their actions with so much of attachment and so much of restlessness. They continue working. They say, I work 20 hours, 24 hours. I put so much effort, so much of actions. But I am only getting agitation as my result. Vain action. Vain hopes, vain actions. This is what is going on in all of our lives. So it is vain knowledge, not really gaining the true knowledge. You are senselessly pursuing the material things as an end all and be all of life. Verily, they are possessed of rajasic and tamasic nature, not the sattvic nature. So then how does the person who is possessed of sattvic nature function? He calls such a person as Mahatma. See, Mahatma simply means one who is able to resist the temptations of the lower and identify with the higher. The lower gives you instant pleasure. Higher doesn't give you instant pleasure. When you pursue the higher, slowly your life turns into nectar. But when you pursue the lower, it gives you instant pleasure, but slowly it turns your life into pain. So who is a Mahatma who is able to see through all these things and then put up with inconvenience cheerfully and doesn't go by the Rakshasa and Tamasic Gunas which give you instant pleasure? Using the free will, he identifies with the higher, even though it doesn't give him instant pleasure, even though in the beginning it is little painful. They who truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a bee. Therefore he calls such a person as Mahatma. So the whole thing is, you've got to learn to tackle your rajas and tamas. This is the chapter we studied now in the 4 days. When Swamiji had come, Swamiji had given this lecture on chapter 13, which is called the Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. End of the day, we need to teach ourselves and our children this only. What? Control the lower and expand the higher. Move in the direction of the higher. This is the most important education. This you do not teach. You teach all other things with which they can swell, they can acquire more. What is important is this particular thing. In all of us there is rajas, tamas and sattva. We should know how to control tamas, manage rajas and increase sattva. So become Mahatma, he says. So becoming Mahatma, all the Mahatma, what do they do? Upasa, they are possessed of my divine nature, sattvic nature. What do? They worship me with unwavering mind. Worship me means what? Me means what? Identifying with that projector light in that example, Atma, while all the experiences are going on, I identify with Atma inside. Right. What do? Identifying with me. How? Through the study of the scripture, with the help of the guru, with the help of satsanga, good company. They glorify me all the time. Through sadhana, karma, bhakti, jnana, yoga and hatha yoga. Always glorifying me. So even though you have got associated with the study of the Gita, you still need to give importance and maintain the satsang. Why? I mentioned the importance of satsang. Even Adi Shankara in Bhajagovindam, he says, satsangatve nissangatva. Nissangatve nirmohatva. Satsang means good company. Why is good company emphasized so much? Knowledge needs to establish itself. The Guru has impregnated you, the Shastra has impregnated you with the knowledge, with the information. But the information needs to consolidate. You cannot, like a pregnant woman, the pregnancy needs to be consolidated. Till then the pregnancy is not even announced. Exactly like that, you need to consolidate the information. For that, the environment needs to be conducive. If you are in a negative environment, then it destroys the information. It's very, very important to keep the satsa. Therefore, he says, always glorifying me, striving firm in the vows of brahmacharya, prostrating before me with devotion, ever steadfast they worship me. In other words, 13, 14, 15 he is saying, they will do sadhana. This is what they keep on telling you. Please understand this from a different angle. We say that you got to study early in the morning. The best time to study is 4 and 6 in the morning. Why is this being emphasized so much? We need to understand that we have what is called as conscious mind and subconscious mind. Okay. In many of us, the subconscious mind is filled with world. Conscious mind, we go to Bhagwan and pray to Bhagwan, fulfill my desires which are in my subconscious. But people who see you in the mandir, they think you are such a great devotee. But what are you asking? Bhagwan, be a support to fulfill my desires which are within me. You understand? The goal of spirituality is what? Fill your subconscious with divinity. At the conscious level, you may have to go and externally deal at the material level. That's alright. But inside all the time there is only Bhagwan. Are you with me? This we need to bring about within us. So you got to understand how the whole thing works and why do we constantly emphasize get up early and study and all that. Also one of the other things we say is before going to bed, listening to some divine music or some stories like Ramayana, Mahabharata, etc., Bhagavatam. Why are these things emphasized with reference to this conscious and subconscious mind? Please understand, can you switch on your computer? Does it switch on immediately? Slowly switches on, huh? Right? And similarly, when you shut it down, does it shut down immediately? It is there. The programs are running at the background. It will take a while for it to shut down. Please wait. Isn't it? So what is happening is slowly, from conscious, you go to subconscious, to unconscious, when you go to sleep. Similarly, when you wake up, from unconscious, you come to subconscious, to conscious. So you are closest to subconscious before going to bed. You are closest to subconscious when you wake up. Therefore, during the time, not only during the time, during the conscious time, during the daytime, do Karma Yoga. But before going to sleep and getting up early in the morning, waking up and studying the Shastra, how does it help? It puts lot of spiritual thoughts into your subconscious. And thereafter, during the day when you are functioning with your conscious mind, you must do lot of actions. Give a vent to your existing desires. Giving it a direction towards the loka sadhana, welfare of the world. Do it as a service for the world. Karma Yoga. So through Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga, constantly what you have to do? You have to strive to put the thought of Brahman in your subconscious. Once it is put in your subconscious, then whatever rituals you may do, he is giving the example of a Vedic ritual in 16th verse. But in modern context, anything that you do thereafter, you will understand. The person who is doing is Brahman. The person who is doing, why is he doing? To achieve the Brahman. And whatever he is doing, that is also Brahman. Whatever equipment he is using to do the action, that is also Brahman. Everything is Brahman and Brahman alone. You see, you may walk around doing many other things outside, but you understand the whole world is pervaded by Brahman, the spirit is Brahman, the matter is Brahman, the Brahman is even beyond spirit and matter, which he talked about as father, mother and grandfather. And Brahman is the ultimate goal. All this you understand with your mind deeply. At the conscious level you may be doing certain things for practical reasons in the world, but subconsciously you are not interested in anything else. You are only interested in reaching the Supreme. And then he talks about one set of people who do follow the Vedic injunctions, but what is their interest? Only to go up to heaven and come back. They exhaust their punya in heaven, they come back. But you should not be like that. He says, don't only use your tapas to go up to heaven. Use your tapas to go up to Brahman. The problem is, it's not just enough if you put in the tapas. Never encash your tapas at any time. Please learn this today. One is we have to put in tapas. Other is we should never try to encash our. You put in tapas, you are gathering more power. At some point in time, we try to encash the power. Never should you encash the power. You should use that, gather more strength to reach the. Like in that game, you know, that they play, Kaun Banega Karodpati.
So some people like they show this medicine and all that.
That is all encashing.
Encashing the stuff.
Some masters may do it for a different reason, but many people do encash. That's why there's a beautiful lecture, interesting lecture by Swami Ramananda. He says, spirituality and spiritual powers, he differentiates both of them separately. He says if you are spiritual, you may have spiritual power. That doesn't mean just because you have spiritual power, you are spiritual. And any spiritual person will never encash his spiritual power. Impossible. You should not get stuck at any level. You know, in certain sadhanas you practice, you develop power. There is a tremendous urge to encash. Never encash. Continue, till you have reached the self. Once you reach the self, thereafter it overflows. Infinite, na? It overflows. You are not there trying to, it's not selfishly hanging on to it. Never try to encash. So a lot of people, they try to encash, you know, they go up to heaven and come back. So much effort only to go to heaven. When you could have gone up to Brahman and not returned further. Therefore he says, ananyas chintayanto maam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahavyam. This is the most important verse in this chapter. Verse 22, chapter 9. Which we call as the geometrical center of the Gita. As it were, it is at the center. 22nd verse of chapter 9. The crux of the Gita philosophy is given there. Even if you cannot recollect the whole verse, just remember the first word in that verse. What is that? Ananya. Second word, chinta. Chinta means? What does chinta mean? Thoughts. Anya chinta means? Other thought. Ananya chinta means? No other thought. Ananya means no other. There is no otherness. There is only Brahman. There should be no thought of the world. That's what he means. Ananya chinta. If we go to Balaji, is it only Balaji who is there in our head? Anything other than Balaji is there. So, we are going to Balaji. There Balaji is a means. Balaji will help us attain all the other things. So he says, no other thought. Clean drop the thought of the world. Clean drop the thought of yourself. what will happen, if I do this, will I get that, future thing, who will take it? Just do what you have to do. Ananya chinta, no other thought. See, there's no other thought, lot of people mean, no other thought means they're sitting in constantly thinking about Brahma only. He says no other thought means externally conscious level, jo karna karo. But inside only thought of Brahman is. Ananya chitta yanto maam ye jana paryupasate. One who does upasana like that, one who worships me like that, fills me in their subconscious like that fully. Tesham nityami yuktanam. Since they are constantly united with me, worshipping me, nityami yuktanam, yoga kshemam vahami asana. I give them both yoga and kshema. I give them yoga and kshema. What does it mean? Both the spiritual success and material. See, what a lot of people think is, if I lose the thought of future, will I lose the object? No. In fact, my whole focus will be in the present action. If my whole attention is in the present action, that action will be done totally. When the action is done totally, automatically the results will come. So he says, I will give you both yoga and kshema. Also, whatever tapas you have done, whatever level you reached, I will protect you to retain that. The biggest effort is retention. Isn't it? You may get something, but will you retain, you don't know. You must give all your wealth to your children, but you do not know whether they will retain. The ability to retain and grow. Right, that I will take care. I will protect you. I shall give you that. So, ananya shintayin tomam, ye jana paryupasate, esham nityami yuktanam, yoga kshemam rahamyakam. Focus completely in me. He that loses his self for my sake shall find himself in this. Doing things for the sake of the self, not for any other thing. Just doing it with no motive, with no other thought. When you do like that, automatically everything gets attracted to you. Why are people attracted to a child? Because child has no expectations. See, please always understand, the lower will always get attracted to the higher. Isn't it? So, the higher is the innocence of the child, the no expectation attitude of the child. It is happening in the child unconsciously. Are you with me? That is why any children, everybody, adult, nobody wants to, Baba, if I go there, maybe he will ask me. Maybe there is some expectation. Are you with me? You got to be like that. The moment you function like that, automatically everything gets attracted. You will become the magnet that pulls everything towards you. You do not want everything gets attracted. This is the irony of life. You want everything gets repulsed from you. You do not want everything genuinely gets attracted. That's life. So therefore rise above ananya shinta. Without knowing, some people go to different devatas. They don't come to me directly. They go to different devatas and do pujas respectively. Okay? What they don't understand is, even if they worship that devata, actually they are worshipping me. I am the one who is giving them the fruits. They do not know this. I have explained this with the example of different ministry and the Prime Minister and the Government of India. You can apply to different ministry, but who is answering your application? Government of India. So he says, those who do not understand this, they go to various devatas. As you think, so you become. The worshippers of the devatas go to devatas. Worshippers of the ancestors go to ancestors. Worshippers of elements go to elements. Preta Bhuta, they go to that loka. There are some people, you know, Seriously, if you sit with them 5 minutes, if you are not really developed, if you are not really careful and you do not have the intellect, they will convince you that it's better for the suicide. Just 5 minutes you give them the constant negative talk. That is not alright, this is not, people have become corrupt, this system is bad. Just 5 minutes, it's enough. If you do not have intellect, they will influence you. If you have the intellect, you will not get influenced. In 1998 or something, I met a gentleman in Chennai. Of course, he used to attend our classes. I met him in his factory, I had gone for some talk. Before the talk in his room, some recession was happening at the time in the industry, you know. But hardly 5-10 minutes I spent with him. So much of negativity. He actually told me, I'm not exaggerating, when he told me, tomorrow I'll be on the road. I felt very sorry for him, you know. He's saying, tomorrow, if you come, this factory will be closed, I'll be on the road. That's the situation. He's still running his business. He's acquired more. I am 100% sure today also, if you go to him, he will talk like this.
The uncertainty is there.
He's saying everybody is lying.
They are just talking about...
See, that's why we keep on saying in our classes, a pessimist is one who sees the uncertainty and complaints. And a philosopher is one who sees the uncertainty and is prepared. So he is not going to constantly be negative, you know. So what I am trying to say is, there are some people like that, you know, they, all the time they talk about this prayer, the whole thing is their spirit, they talk about those kind of things. I don't know whether you met them, you know. Talking to the spirit and that is happening, this is happening, plane check. It's actually, if you move with them, it's torturous. Yeah, but they will be like, I didn't see anything there. Everything you have to do 3 times. All sorts of confusion. Because they're constantly thinking that. So is there those who worship devatas go to devatas? Those who worship ancestors go to ancestors. Those who worship preta, bhuta, they go to bhuta. Those who worship me come to me. As you think, so you shall be. Choice is yours. See, in other words, what he is saying is, I am only the enabling factor. What you write, that keeps on getting perpetuated. So you better write me. There is nothing else controlling you other than yourself. Therefore, what is important is, your subconscious is a literal mechanism. What you put in your subconscious, it functions exactly like that. G-I-G-O. If you put garbage in, garbage out. If you put self in, self out. What are you putting in? That's what Krishna is saying here. Subconscious is a literal mechanism. As you think, so you shall become. Therefore, it doesn't really matter what you offer, what you do. What matters is how you offer, how you do. Satram, Pushpam, Phalam, Toyam, Yomi, Bhaktya, Prayasati. Those verses 26 and 27, he said, Yat karoshi, yadashnashi, yajjuhoshi, yadasyat, yat tapasyati, kauntayat, tat purushva madarpanam. It doesn't matter what you do. You may be doing painting, you may be doing dancing, you may be doing conducting Gita class. What matters is how you do. Supposing you conduct Gita class with selfish motive, will it become spiritual? You conduct some business with selfless motive, it becomes spiritual. Isn't it? Being on a war field, the action performed by a warrior can become spiritual. Being in a Spiritual environment, the action that you are performing may become mundane. Depends on what your attitude is.
Therefore he says, yat karosi yadashnashi yadyuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva.
That's the most important.
Do it as an offering to me. You are worried about what you are offering. Doesn't matter. Krishna is telling Arjuna, through Arjuna to all of us, what matters is not what you offer. So don't worry about that. Let it, whatever may be your nature, according to you do, how does it matter? See, the biggest problem is, we go by society's perception. In society's perception, is it considered as a bigger thing? Otherwise, would you force your children to do something that they really do not love? Just because they are born in your in business family, in your family which is business family? You started one hospital and it's rolling business going on. You have only one son, only son. And that fellow is not interested in medicine at all. You force the fellow to do medicine. He may be interested in something else. So what you do at that time when you do that is, you are not understanding all that Krishna, Sri Krishna is saying here. So it really does not matter what you offer. You are selling yourself in the society. You have sold your personality to the society. So society is dictated in terms, live your life authentically. Don't look at your life from society's prism. Constantly being evaluated by the society in your mind. This is the ridiculous thing that can happen. So Krishna says, doesn't matter. You know, there are some television programs sometimes, once in a while, when you are flipping the channels, you see, you know. So I've seen this. One lady is coming and sitting in the program and crying. Why she is crying? Then I realized she is crying, she is in that discussion. She is telling, I lost my son, then she ran away. She doesn't know whether he's alive, he's dead. She's assuming he's alive. She said that fellow was interested in badminton. He used to play badminton all the time. But I was forcing him to study. Mother. And the fellow, it's not that he was not a failure or something, but he's not scoring, you know, like really well to crack to the best of universities. But one day he just left, he didn't come. So she doesn't know that it's already some 5 years passed. Now she's crying and saying, please come back. I hope you are watching this TV somewhere, this program. Please come back. We will not force you to study now. We will allow you to play badminton. Now what is happening? See, it's a painful thing. When you see such things, it's a very, very painful thing. Learn to live your life authentically. Don't live your life plastic. So that's what Sri Krishna is saying here. It doesn't matter what you do, how you do it. Constantly complaining, what to do, I have this talent only, but this talent is not respected in this universe now, so what do I do? Your worry is what? He would not have that second karma, or 15th karma. Whatever it is, isn't it? That's all it is. He would probably not have 7 world tours in a year. Maybe just 2. I have to just exaggerate for you to understand. Isn't that what it ultimately boils down to? Right? Like we were discussing the other day about your daughter, right? It's exactly that. Ultimately that. So it really doesn't matter what you do.
what matters is. So remember those two verses, they are very important verses. Patram pushpam phalam poyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paharukam ashnami prayatashnam. So when he talked about that, he emphasized one more thing. He said, okay, how you offer, what you offer does not matter. It can be leaf, it can be anything. Right? Whatever a devotee's offering is made, I accept. In other words, you have to strive. You have to put in your effort. Forget about the fruit, man. You have to strive. In the name of bhakti, a lot of people, what they do is, they go and offer flower and fruit, and they think Bhagavan will. And when they come back home, suddenly their house should become some big bungalow. Because they have offered fruit. Here Krishna is telling very clearly, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayata. Tadaham bhakti paharata. Krishnami prayatatma. You have to be prayatatma. Prayatatma means to put that prayatna, effort. With that, you continue putting in the effort with the devotion. You leave it to me. The biggest problem is we will not leave it. Until you leave it, you will not get it. That's the irony of life. The way to gain anything is to lose it. Not to grab it, hold on to it. Just let it go. So, then he says, yat karoshi yat asnasti juhoshi dadatiya tat purushva madhaipad. Do that as an offering to me. Silently do it. Simply do it. Just do it. And then another problem that comes then is, okay, if I do all that, what will happen? He says, all your vasanas will go. You will realize the self. Once you realize the self, you will see the same in all beings. Then he says, they are in me, I am in them. Now, when the snake dissolves, will you be seeing the rope or not? You will see the rope. Now the rope is saying, you are in me, I am in him. You understand? Then he says it's kind of giving you confidence by saying, earlier he said it doesn't matter what you do, but how you do. Now he's saying it doesn't matter where you are, but what direction you take in life. That matters. You can be in a very disadvantageous position because of your past karma. Right, there's even the example of woman was given. So I even pointed out to you, he's not saying woman is a sinful birth. Just saying the body may be not conducive for all kinds of spiritual practices. Are you with me? Therefore, you do not think that it is a disadvantage. No need. See, always remember that story. The running race that happened between tortoise and the hare. The hare was at an advantage position. Pole position, they say in the race, no? First they have a race to get the pole position. You have one. Pole position is very important. Isn't it? But then, afterwards, you could still win. You see, yesterday, I was traveling somewhere and I was in the radio, you know, the first piece of the radio. The radio is very important in the moment. So, to me it was funny. This so-called astrologer was analyzing in the radio. I understood my Hindi is not that good, but I understood what he's saying. He's comparing this Usain Bolt and Gatlin, those guys who are competing in the 100 meters and 200 meters race. Usain Bolt is number one now, right? He's analyzing, he's saying his star is this and also the number lane is 6, disadvantage. And it's really, it was so funny, because of that Usain Bolt is winning. Gatlin is not winning because of this. Almost like that he was saying. Now, to this is a problem. You know, if you teach Gita, you teach all these things, five fellows like this, six fellows. But that fellow, everybody is asking questions to him in the radio. You do not understand this. The story which we studied when we were small. Hare and tortoise is having a running race. Hare was at an advantageous position, but the tortoise is the one which runs and won the race, not hare. Are you with me? It's exactly the same thing Sri Krishna is saying here. It doesn't matter where you are. Valmiki's example is there. Ratnakar, who was a bandit, realized the self, woke up to that level, got enlightened. So why are you worried where you are, what you are? Simply wherever you are. If there is bhakti, if you do it without thinking of anything, I will come there. You may be there with a mandir, but I may not be there. Somewhere they told me some mandir is there. That mandir, usually if you go to a South Indian mandir, from the entrance you can see the lot. You go to Tanjavur mandir, you know, Tanjavur. Huge shivlinga is there. From outside you can clearly see the linga. Huge shivlinga. In that particular mandir, I believe, if you go to the main entrance, the lot side only you can see. The lot is turned to the side. There is a story behind it. I believe one downtrodden fellow, those days untouchability and all was there. He used to come from the side through the window, he used to see the Lord in it. Because he's not allowed to come from the main entrance. But he had true bhakti. So Lord turned in that direction. So now whosoever it is, you have to go to the mandir only and have darshan of Bhagavan from that end, that window over there. Somebody told me this. What is all this saying? It really doesn't matter. You need not, I'm not saying don't go to Balaji. Supposing for whatever reason you're not able to go, Balaji will come to you. That's what he's saying here. See, wherever you are, you can convert that into a mandir. It's your attitude. And even a mandir you can probably convert that into a gambling center. It's all your masters. You understand? Instantly you can do that. So therefore, even if you are of the disadvantageous position, you could still realize the self. All that matters is taking that direction, changing that direction towards the self. So, forget about the past. Till yesterday I was like this, doesn't matter. World will go by your past. World will constantly, that is why they said, Rishi Moolam, you should never find. Rishi Moolam. The sense, we go to the Rishi Moolam. In the past, he could have been whatever he or she could have been, anything. God knows what he was. God knows what she was. Like, if you go to the past, will you read Ramayana? Valmiki? That bandit fellow? Will you not say that? He was not it, but he became a great saint. Kaushika Maharaja became Vishwamitra, but he was a Maharaja. When he was a Maharaja, I don't know what all he did. You understand? So why go into that past? Don't go into the past. For him all karmas are gone, as far as he is concerned. The world is looking into all those things. He has burnt all the past. In fact, Swami Chinmayananda went to Rishikesh, I was told. He was a freelance journalist. He went to Himalayas to expose the Swamis. He went to Himalayas to expose the fake Swamis. Not Swamis, fake Swamis. He met Swami Shivananda. A genuine guy he met. When he met a genuine Swami, He said, forget about all this. He became a shishya. And after a few years with him, Shivanandi sent him to Swami Tapan Maharaj. Then after so many years of tapas, from there he came down and started this Sinya mission, and thanks to him all this knowledge is available now like this. He only started this Gita Jnana Yajnana, all that yearly thing and weekly study classes, you know. Even our Swamiji studied under Chandrayana. This is how the whole thing spread. Otherwise he wouldn't have his classes now. But he was a journalist. He went to Himalaya to expose the fake sannyasis, fake swamis.
You saw that movie, no? That movie on
Chandrayana. So you got to understand this, you know. So it really doesn't matter. Oh, and then all this pop. This is the idea in Christianity also, the confession. It's not that you confess and tomorrow again you start some nakra. Once you go to Ganges and then you take a gift, everything will become alright. Again some new murder you commit. It needs the inner change. Once the direction has changed, once the light is switched on from within, that fellow cannot do pop again. Impossible. That's what he's saying. So whichever, whatever might be your past, if you have changed your direction, you will also realize the self. Then he says, if that is the case for a disadvantageous fellow, how much more for a fellow who is in advantage condition, weekly class members. You understand? Arjuna, you are in advantage position, man. How much more beneficial to you? He's just trying to encourage him, through him, all of us. Don't give up. See, many times what happens, na? You see that Kaun Banega Karorpati, the fellow comes up to that, whatever that third, just two more questions, one guru. But then he gives up. Settles. In spirituality also, continue. Doesn't matter. Go through the struggle. Never try to encash your focus. And then finally he concludes. This is a summary of chapter 9, is already there in verse 34. It says, Madmana Bhava, Madbhakta Bhava, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mami Veshasi Yuktvaivam, Atmanam Mat Parayanaha. In this, first, Mat Bhakta Bhava. First, become My Bhakta. My Bhakta means, in the initial stage, even if your subconscious is filled with the world, doesn't matter. Take Krishna. Help me fulfill my worldly desires so that I can rise them, rise above them and seek you. Atati Ata Jinyasu, even if you are, it's okay. Become my bhakta. Don't think you can do everything. Understand? Ma bhakta. Then mat paraha. Thereafter, you understand that reaching the material wealth and material goal is not everything. Ultimately, self is the highest. Matpara, nothing else beyond that. Supreme goal. Then, manmana, your mind should be kept in that goal by your intellect. Not allowing it to slip into the mental world. Manmana bhava. Then, madhyaji bhava. Madhyaji means sacrifice to me. Meaning what? All actions, whereafter you are, will this take me to self? I do. This will not take me to self, I will not know. Like Hanumanji was presented with a mala. He put it to his ears. He did not say Ram. Like that. Even in your life, anything you do, you must ask this question, will this help me towards the goal? No, there's no need to do. Otherwise somebody will come, some new thing that you are going to. Then another new fellow comes, is there something when you are going there? There is no single focus. You are not having focus in your life. So madhyaji bhava. Then namaskuru. Nama meaning, even though you are putting an effort, don't think that everything is happening because of you, by the grace of the Lord. Surrender to me.
then if you function like this, you shall attain me. Mame Vaishyati, he said, you will come to me. That summaries.
पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. प्रकृतेष्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.